Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
1925, Nagoyan Gottesberg was addressing the National Assembly. At the time, 4,500 students had graduated from school, and his frustration was that he could absorb 500 into the civil service. And what is he going to do with the 4,000? And he was telling people that the 4,000, if he asked them to do agric, mechanics, road building, everything, the field is beneath them. And so he was thanking parents for encouraging their children to go to school, but telling the school and the parents that the spirit also for going to school, they should tell them that unless you work with your hands, all that's going to happen is unemployment. In 1925, that Gordon Gottesberg was complaining that the average Ghanaian feels that once I can read and write, I shouldn't work with my hands. But until we start thinking like the European, who doesn't care that I can work with my hands and still be not a second-class citizen, all we're going to have is unemployment. And it's like a prophecy. That's what we're having today. We don't have masons, tilers. And as soon as you mention those things, people think, oh, Nana, you're elite. I'm not. My son wanted to go to the police. I said, Rain, don't. Do something with the answer. That was, I don't care. Anything that you do with your hands, he calls, I want to be an electrician. I said, thank God. Get into an apprenticeship and become an electrician. You won't starve anymore. From the day you finish your apprenticeship, you become an employer. I have a story about a guy who went to prison. Mataiko lives next door to my sister, apparently all, you know, smoking, drinking, goes to prison, and learns woodwork in prison. So after 3-4 years, he comes back. So my sister said he came. The first 2 months, he was still trying to do the thing, and I think he wasn't getting that. So one day he comes with a taxi with wood on it, and then he makes fridge and freezer stands. My sister said, oh, I bought one, and in the evening it was finished. So the next day, I saw him. Yeah, it was gone. It says in 2 weeks, when his taxi came to pick him up to go and buy wood, he put a notice on the gate, help needed, and sat in the car and went. 2 weeks, he put a notice on his gate, when his taxi came to pick him up to go and buy the wood, help needed.
Now he's employing.
Now he's employing.
We must go for a look for Gottesberg to give. Knock on the grill and say, come out and make that speech again.
You see, and when I made this statement, I was insulted. I said, look.
I want to ask you by who?
Well,
I want to ask you by who, well, because it doesn't really matter to me. Mm-hmm. Why are we unable to deal with ideas that don't reflect how we think in life? Why do we struggle with people's ideas that are alternatives to what we think?
Well, funny
or you
enough,
think it has its roots in the first point you made?
No, I think it has become a new culture where we have a generation that's very, very angry and unable to even say, look, come again, or I disagree with you. There's a lot of venom. Finally, I was discussing with Comfort just before we came in. So I don't know the root cause of that. But yes, to us, I mean, I had people writing to me that, why do you want people from poor backgrounds to be ill-educated? I'm thinking, hold on. If somebody is in Achimota learning woodwork, if you come to Achimota, it's free for him. He's doing woodwork, or he's doing electricals, or he's doing learning how to do POP or tiling. How can that be ill-educated? He can go all the way to tech. That's his start. He can go the end. There's no end, literally. You know.
Let me take Prof's third point, and I'll tell you why there's a very interesting dimension to this point that you made. And I'm struggling to find out which of the points you are raising so far, the five I've heard so far, is my favorite for very good reasons. Let me come to you, Prof, for your last point.
Yeah. My last point.
Your third point. I think the last point is not fair to you. Third, because you can come back next time and bring another one. Why not?
My third point is arts, culture, and entertainment. It's interesting. Nana didn't pick that one, and I did. And I did. But why did I pick that one? When we talk about arts, culture, and entertainment, well, I think about all the things that we have. Our art, our fashion, our food, our dances, our music, our heritage sites, our monuments, our theater, all of those. And for me, that's where we have a comparative advantage. Look, I think our gold is finished. Our diamond, even our oil, may be running out.
It's moving for
but
us.
These are the things that we have, the things that come naturally to us. And so we need to be able to build these up, package them in such a way that we are able to sell them. There's no use trying to be like that other person coming from that other part of the world, because you can't beat the person to it. This is what we have. Let's develop them. Let's package them well. And then let's sell them. You know, when we do that, we're able then to actively engage our youth and engage them where they are. We don't have to bring them all to a certain center. We enhance tourism. That's right in there. So
I officially give up. I give up because just when you think, okay, so the five ideas, I can't choose. Then you add a sixth one that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Six avant-garde, revolutionary, crazy, thought-provoking ideas. If you just joined us, where have you been? This is Springboard, your virtual investment. We call it virtual because wherever you are in the world, you can participate. You don't need all the various things that Prof provides at her university at Lagos. Wherever you are, you can just log on, tune in, and be part of a big conversation and learn thereby. So when I come back from this break, I'm going to tell you what I've been learning from my two friends here, Nana Ansakwa the Fourth and Professor Nana Abapia Amfo. But just to let you know that this conversation will continue throughout till the end of the month of November. So don't miss out and go for the back editions, because some of what they are saying has come up in some other form and been policed, advocated, and driven very strongly by highly opinionated people who are saying this is the way. And yet they are saying the same things without a rehearsal. Just to let you know that the fifth in our series of elite conferences, that is the virtual women's development conferences, comes off this Wednesday, the 11th of November 2020, and we will look at the challenges and the barriers of entry into politics for women. So let's have a conversation about it. The topics include getting into frontline politics as a woman. We'll look at the ups and downs of it, and then we would also look at some tools that can help you achieve your aspirations, if that's where your interest is, and any barriers can also be knocked away. It's on Wednesday at 10 a.m. till 12 noon on Zoom and Facebook. Also join us on Thursday night for our virtual hangout on the core program. Welcome back to Springboard, your virtual university, and to this conversation that is so interesting about my ideal Ghana. I can tell one thing for sure. You have your own notebook, iPad, whatever, writing down your own list and challenging us to invite you and see if you will not give us better ideas. But that is the whole essence of it, that we can have a conversation where ordinary stakeholders can say, listen, I also think I would like to see Ghana like this. And the fact that we can have this conversation alone is a good thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, of course. Why not? Throw out the ideas.
So if you've been listening to us, let me start with Nana Ansakwa the Fourth, who has been telling us that the DNA of the African is more about collaboration than competition. And he says, if we don't collaborate and compete, we set ourselves up to reach the maximum we can reach is a good manager. We can't raise great leaders because the system itself is wrongly set up. His second point is my favorite because it's a very personal experience. He talked about having learning challenges because of dyslexia when he was a child, and no one knew it. And typically in our system, you get caned, you get reprimanded, you get shamed for a condition you have no control over. And he accidentally found it. But he's saying, if teachers, if I may add, if parents also, if parents can also be helped to understand their children, we can help them much better to realize their full potential. And I give that point, the point of the day, because it's a personal experience that you've shared, if you will give me permission to do that.
Sure.
The third one would have been, but for the second one, the 95 years ago, Gagisbert said the same thing about people being turned out of schools with not enough jobs to accommodate them and the need to shift our focus to a different kind of professional aspiration. And it's still there till today. And he says, until we work with our hands, there will be nothing to do. And that is his third point. Professor Nana Abba Apia Amfo has been looking at three areas. She started with education, and she challenged us to look at rethinking our education to focus more on technical education, focus more on problem solvers, critical thinkers, and people who are technologically adept. A point that I said was not like a legal point. And she says, I've not been coming to legal. That's what they call it. Her second point was about leadership and governance. And she says, we must develop a system that is based on our own needs and what has worked for us. And the third point is about arts, culture, and the team. And she says, that's what makes us unique. And so package it, focus on it, and make money from there. These are the six points that I struggle to choose between. I don't even have to make a choice. I can take all six and say, great points. Let me ask you, which of her points, Nana, which of Prof's points would you have added to yours if you had to pinch?
Well, I think the arts and culture. You see, I don't know if it's commercialization or whatever I think, but there's a great misrepresentation of our culture in the arts that we see. And so you have, you know, the young ones growing up, every music video has to have somebody who is nude, and the guy singing has to pretend to be American. Well, nowadays, not so much, but all theaters must have a witch. Everybody's auntie should be a witch. And do you know that even witchcraft, it's a foreign culture. It's not even a Ghanaian thing. There's no folk tale that anybody can tell me today that they've ever heard about an African folktale where there was a witch played in part. No. That Kwekwanansi met a witch, or once upon a time there was a village where they lived a witch. No. It came with the whites and the Europeans, and we just adopted it. And we have owned it and claimed it. And so everybody growing up believes that anything out of the ordinary is a witch. So the arts and culture is one that is shaping the minds of the masses. And really, we need to look into it so that we can really shape the minds and export it. Because it's a low-hanging fruit.
And I like the way you describe it. I mean, and isn't it interesting? One of the points that has come up, even with this arts, culture, and entertainment discussion under My Ideal Ghana, is that we do not even know our story well enough, so we cannot even tell the story well. And that fits into what you're saying. If we believe that our story is about witchcraft, anything that we write will reinforce that point. But if we understood our story well, we can tell it much better than any Hollywood story. Absolutely. That will tell it and make money from it. And we pay to go and watch our story being told by foreigners.
Imagine.
And
let me tell you about the Wakanda. In 1694, Asimeni from Akwemu went to the Christenborg Castle, hijacked the castle, kicked the Danes out, and ruled for 14 months. So for 14 months, Governor Asimeni was at the Christenborg Castle dealing with all the ships that were coming. The Danes came back to him and said, listen, this is a very prized asset. We won't fight with you. Let's negotiate and sell it back to us. After the negotiation and he sold the castle back to the Danes, he said, you know what? Do everything, but you must change all the locks because I'm taking all the keys away. Because one day my great-grandchildren will come and they will not believe that I occupied this house. Till this day, the keys are with the Akwemuhene. So the Queen of Denmark came to see, they brought the archaeologists and everything to test, to verify. And yes, they were the original keys. That's a Wakanda story. back. So before 1966, there had been a coup. You know, he went there.
But that's a beautiful story.
Yes, he pretended to be a houseboy in the castle, learned to be a translator. He then brought in 80 armed warriors and said, oh, we want to buy guns. They bought the guns. Oh, now we want to buy bullets. They gave them the bullets and they said, hands up. Now kick, get out. You know, so that's a Wakanda story.
Banana, it must be one of your projects. And we are signing up today. I'm going to ask you your project, your Edumasa project. What inspires you? What keeps you awake at night? Just to sign off on the program. Let me come to you, Prof. Which of his points would you have liked to pinch and add to yours?
That's a very tough one, but there are two things that you talked about which I could kind of relate to. The first one was when we were talking about unemployment, essentially it went back to the point of skills training. Mm-hmm. And so you see that this is a theme that is running through, yes, that we need to look at the way we are bringing up ourselves. What do we expect to see of our people after they have had several years of education? And I want to say that skills training must not necessarily replace mind training. Mm. We can have a convergence, yeah, and we should have a convergence. Now, the point you made about our DNA not being competitive but collaborative, really, I hadn't thought about it, because I thought that you men were competitive as women who are usually collaborative. Mm. So I find that quite interesting, and I think that that's something that we need to look at and see how we can create great leaders even within that context.
It's happening big time, actually. There's a new management theory that talks about, instead of competing, let's collaborate. So you will find companies that are sworn competitors coming together to do stuff because they both become wealthier, stronger, yeah, mm-hmm, when they collaborate. Yeah. And they still collaborate and they still compete, but they collaborate to do things that will mutually
benefit. There's a way in which it is done.
So that becomes very, very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Let me move to one big question that I would always ask in a session like this. Why not?
Why not? Because
what would it take, for instance, to increase awareness of teachers, parents, and the community about special needs of children? What would it take?
Nothing. Just start it. I don't even think it will cost any money, because the teacher is already going through training school. I mean, the teacher has all the time being trained. So what will happen in adding two periods or three periods in a week to identify, children who have a particular speciality and not necessarily academic? Because there are a lot of creatives. And you know what? There's the creatives that end up ruling the world.
I have a feeling that I will disagree with you on this. Mm. Not because you are wrong.
Okay.
The starting point is when somebody who's very accomplished like you, mm-hmm, sits on a shoe like springboard and says, I was dyslexic.
Wow.
That's the starting point. Mm-hmm. Because suddenly everybody sits up and says, okay, if he was, then what are we saying about children with that kind of learning challenge?
Because one thing people really hide it. It's one of the sensibility that people really, really hide.
Because we have not been socialized to talk about things like this. Somebody, I have a speech impairment. And when I say it, people are like, oh, no, it can't be. You are a speaker. You speak all the time. So that's why you don't agree. You don't understand. But I know how I compensate for my challenges. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Yeah. But we are not socialized to talk about the things that we see as our challenges, because our society is not like that. You must look perfect, rounded, everything in place. So I think that's why I think that's my biggest point. The fact that you can talk about it, everybody will be like, okay, then my child is like that. It's not. For me, even the way you found it out. So it's possible a parent listening today saying, oh, that explains Akwesi Ajua's challenge. Yeah. Until Nana spoke about it, I had never thought about it.
Yeah.
Can I come in here?
You are an educationist.
So, yes, so I think it's awareness, commitment, and leadership. Mm-hmm. That is what will take us, right? And awareness, that's what we are doing right here. He coming to talk about his challenge, what he's been through, and how he's been able to overcome it. As you say, there are people who are listening and they can relate to that. They know somebody who has been through that or is going through that, but they didn't quite understand what was the issue. So now there is awareness, and then there should be commitment that this is what we want to do, this is what we want to see. As you're saying, sometimes it's not even about the money. Well, you have a certain amount of money, really, and you have to decide that this is what I want to use that money for. So we are training teachers. What are our priority areas? How are we going to train them so that when the teachers come and they are in the classroom, they are teaching, they are identifying where the children have problem areas, they understand that if you have a class of 20, 30, even if you have two children, they can't be the same. They are different. So how do we treat them the same and expect that they come out perfectly well?
I have the point I said I was going to make before we went on the break is about an Indian friend of mine who shared a brilliant idea with me. Sounded extremely brilliant at the time, but here you are talking about the same thing. And it's about an educational system or an educational arrangement that does not have to bother to start with the same foundations that we start. An arrangement where if you are good in a particular field right from the beginning, that's what you do. And beyond talking about it, he was willing to do it. And you know what? For those who are telling you that this idea, you're trying to keep the people in the poor, you'll be surprised that that kind of educational institution is the kind of poor
pay rich.
Big money to go to. Because if the child doesn't care about other things, why waste their time? Take them straight to what they want to become and let the core rather become ancillaries.
There's one thing I really try to run away from is copying what others have done. But the Japanese model, I think, is an exception where I'm told from 0 to 10 years, they just teach you form and character, how to respect, how to obey your culture, how to eat, just to be a human being. And then after, they now start bothering about A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, whether you can write or not.
Because the values are the foundation.
And I think it's one, even though I never advocate for, they're doing it, it works, let's go do it. As for that one, I'll take it as an exception. Let's try it and see.
And the similar one is the German apprenticeship system.
Yes.
So the countries you think are advanced have been able to identify things that they see. This one is non-negotiable. They have a very well-organized, state-sponsored apprenticeship system.
Yes. You know, we like to talk about science and technology, maths, education. Great. But we haven't even fixed the basis. Yet we hear others talking about that, and then we are in a hurry to copy what they are doing. When you do all of that and you haven't fixed the basis, people don't even understand their humanity. It won't work. That's why sometimes, you know, you bring a fantastic innovation which you think should change the lives of the people, but they don't even appreciate it, and they are not even using it.
If you just joined us, this is a conversation that I know will continue way after we sign off on the show. And I will invite you to join us on social media as we debate these issues into the night and beyond. Because some of these ideas and thoughts, you can't just chew on them and let them go. We need to debate them. We need to look at different angles. Let's hear your own perspective. So join us on social media. Let's have this conversation. And let's break these points up a bit more. I tell you what. I've enjoyed the two of you. I really have. I really, really have. Prof, it's been a host since I saw you, but today you've made my day. What would be your closing thoughts on the show?
I had a meeting with the student leaders at UG, and I'm saying this because of what you said about Legon. We were hoping to come to school in November, but it's not going to be possible. So they said, why don't you get our lecturers to engage us anyway? I said, I'm going to have a meeting next week. We'll talk about it. But if you ask me, I would say go and get something else to do. Learn a skill, learn a language, update your computer skills. Do something different from what you do all year round academically, because that will really add value to you. And when you are out of school, you would really be, I mean, sellable, either as an employee or as an entrepreneur. And so I do all the time encourage skills development. We would develop our minds, no doubt, but we also need to develop our skills.
You've answered a question before I asked it, and that is your contribution to canvassing the point about skills training that you shared so powerfully. And Nana Ansakwa, you're actually for a long time, but your coming today has been worth it for several reasons, some of which you'll find out even after the show. What will be your closing thoughts for today?
See, as a leader myself, you know, and I always say this, that one day, on a very important stage, i.e. world stage, whatever it is, I want Edumasa to be mentioned as a rural area that planned, organized, and built a really sane community for people to live in. And it's my dying ambition. So I've had the town already mapped out. I've done my avenue trees. I'm doing education, everything. But I really want that someday, Edumasa would be an example of a rural area that became a really civilized and sanity for people to live in.
Are you trying to, within your small corner, as they say, do what you would have liked to see? And I'm asking this because in one of the earlier interactions, Professor H. Kwesi Prempeh talked about soft infrastructure. He says, let's build the bridges, let's build all the nice things, but let's make time for the trees, the avenues, the biking paths, the lanes. Let's build cities that we can walk through and feel the air and be happy. Is that what you're trying to do?
Exactly what I'm trying to do. So, I mean, for the first 6 years, I didn't even sell a plot of land, and my people were angry. And I said, until we plan, we can't build. And so eventually we got the planning in. We've done the trees. We have, even though there's no houses there, we have all the avenue trees in place. We did about 1,000. You know, we retrained the teachers so that the literacy went up. You know, it's tough. You know, it's really tough. But again, because nobody's going to vote for me, I can put my foot down and say, nope, it's the right thing. Let's do it.
And that is the DNA of Africa. your theory. I want to say a big thank you to all of you for joining us. We could do this all night, and for very good reason. This has been Springboard, your virtual university conversation about my ideal Ghana. We try to canvas ideas around education, law, and governance. We've done something on arts, culture, and entertainment. And your last point,
employment,
was about the perennial issue of unemployment, which, with a 95-year-old illustration, listen to this over and over and over again. Watch it on Facebook over and over again. Very importantly, join this huge conversation about how we can do things differently. Till we come your way again next week on My Ideal Ghana, my name is Albert Okran, on behalf of the entire academic board chaired by Comfort, and with Papaya pulling the strings in the virtual way, I want to say God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you. Thank you.
Easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
send me some momo. Make I take hold myself small.
If you like the caller tune you're about to listen to, press star 1 to copy now.
Let your caller tune do the talking. Express yourself with your caller tune and win big with MTN. Simply dial star 1355 hash or download your favorite caller tune or copy or renew your already existing caller tune and stand a chance of winning up to 1,000 cedis weekly, 4,000 cedis monthly, and the grand prize of 15,000 Ghana cedis and the MTN caller tunes promo. Send stars to 1355 or dial star 1355 hash to subscribe today. We're good together. We did for you everywhere you go.
UMB was established in 1972 as the premier bank for the corporate and private sector in Ghana. From our very beginning, as the only Ghanaian bank serving all categories of businesses, we set a standard for excellence and innovation over the past 45 years. We've built a financially healthy and strong bank, demonstrated our commitment to our customers and to growing businesses, and exhibited originality and innovation at every turn. At UMB, our focus is built around people, service, products, and technology. These are the key to our present success and our future triumphs. At UMB, we're poised to make a difference not only with our customers, but also in the banking industry. We invite you to share in our future. Our future starts now with you.
When you don't have the Enterprise Advantage app, you're not in control.
Boss.
Yes, Akwesi.
I'm at where they sell the coats. What size do you like?
Ah, what coat?
Coat, coat, office coat.
Ah, I said get me a quote. Quotation from Enterprise. Ah, you pa.
Oh.
What? Oh.
Save yourself from the stress. Take advantage of the Enterprise Advantage app. Make your claims, check statements, request for a quote, and buy a policy from any of our subsidiaries. What's more, you can also get health tips, traffic information, find mechanic shops, and more on your Enterprise Advantage app. Download the Enterprise Advantage app on Google Play and Apple Store now. Here is to 95 years of trust.
Enterprise, your advantage.
We'll be right back. jump, jump.